you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, everyone can hear. We had some interesting things happen last night. As a result, we've opened a confessional booth in the front. Expect a long line to be there. So we're glad to see you. Thank you for coming. This is voluntary, and you volunteered to come. We thank you for that. And we fill the place up again. How wonderful. Little Ben's envelopes will be at the front. If you can just drop him a little something in the mail. He's our little special baby. And help take care of him. My son, Scott, is decided he wanted to drive big trucks. So he went to school and got his truck driver license. So that's good. And his mother has wondered if you can put a trailer hitch on the back of him. Wants to go with him wherever he goes. And that's good. And I was asked to announce Rick's Cafe is open down on 11th Avenue here. Jim, one of my favorite people in the world, his buddy's opened a cafe, restaurant. And everybody's got to eat somewhere. So give them a try. They're trying to get started. And we can go down there today and try. Say what? Free coffee and tea at breakfast and lunch. All right, it's all I have for breakfast. I'm going down there every day. But that's good. So get down there and help them if you can. It's right 17 and 11th. Jim, yell it out, baby.
Used to be Casablanca,
right there. Everybody know where it is? All right, we'll be there. That'll be good. Huh? Waiting for everybody. Taking names. All right, CDs, Larry put us on CDs now. We're big time. And he told me about it Friday. We got CDs out now. Apparently you've seen the Bentley out front. I said, this is going to go. Not mine. Oh, me. But there'll be Randy has his tapes and CDs for sale in the front. If you didn't get one last time, get them. If you have one, you'll really appreciate playing it. He's a blessing to us. And he called, said he had an open weekend, and I told him to come anytime he's got an open weekend, and he did. And so that was good. Have I really got to tell this thing? Okay. I don't like to do this. We won't name any names. One of your local churches, one of our people who come with us regularly, one of my sweethearts, said, yeah, I went out there last Sunday, and the preacher said from the pulpit that down at the beach, said you can just have a Bloody Mary during the service. And I said, well, I didn't know about that. And bars closed. I don't know where you get them. And I said, thinking to myself, is it any worse to buy them when you're there or bring them in you when you come? I don't think we have any more problems than he does. So we'll just pray for him. I don't argue with people like that. I learned in the sales field that anytime you argue with a fool longer than 3 minutes, there's two fools arguing. And so you just go on and say, God bless you. May you be led to less than ignorant standing. So we will do that. So that's all the announcements we have. Anything else? Last night, Millie was You didn't wear the same outfit this morning, Millie. I know, noticed that. And some I said, I'm going to tell your wife when I see her that when Millie got through, she ran over and kissed you in that outfit. My wife's not going to believe anything like that. See, if you believe that, turn that table over and set your hair on fire, ain't it? See that? Not a move. Not a move. Well, we had a good time. It was a wonderful program. At the end, they sang a gospel song and dedicated it to us. And I thought that was awful nice, and I appreciate that. So we're having good things happening to us. Keep bringing people. There are a lot of good people here this morning. Cooter Douglas, his father, a good friend of mine, is here. And we appreciate that. And the interesting story, I was talking to Mr. Douglas and his daughter at Boulevard Grill one day, and we just began to talk and found out she was a good Christian lady and in a good church in Charlotte. And she said, let me tell you a story about our church. I said, well, please do. And she said, well, we started a little church out beside ours for an Oriental population, Koreans. And a few began to come, and where they could, you know, speak in their own language and feel more at home. And then all of a sudden, they began to grow. And we'd meet at Wednesday at 7 o'clock for prayer meeting, and we'd be gone home by 7:45. They were meeting at 5 in the morning till 7:45. And all of a sudden, they got bigger than we did. So they had to have their own place. And she said, one of the ladies came and said, we're going to build our own church, and we appreciate what you've done for us. And she said, where are you going to build it? I don't know. Will you take me there? She said, what? She said, I don't have a car. And she said, okay. So she got in the car. And she said, well, which way? She said, that way. And then turn here. Turn there. Got a little out of Charlotte, going down the road, and then she said, right there. She said, right there what? I said, that's where church going to be. She said, that's a farm. That's somebody's field. That land isn't even for sale. She said, that's where the church is going to be. Who owns it? She said, I don't know. I guess the guy back in that house back there owns it. She said, well, let's talk to him. And drives back there and tells him who she is. And she said, we're going to build the church down there on the corner in your field. He said, well, that land isn't for sale. And she said, no. God sent me to build a church down there. And that's where it's going to be. And God told me that's where it was. That's why I'm here. I don't even know where I am. And he said, well, that land's not for sale, ma'am. God told me to give it to you. Ooh-wee. Tell me what you will. And I said, isn't that wonderful that God will do that? And he takes care of us the same way. Now, I've asked Randy to sing one more song that'll have to do with our message this morning. Where is Randy? There he is. So please do that for me.
Storm passes by. the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Many times, old Saint, he'll whisper, he says, there's no need to try, for there's no end sorrow, and there's no hope in the by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow
from the book of Mark, chapter 6. We will talk about the storms and how the Lord keeps people during that. We have people here today that are going through a storm right now. We had one this morning said she lost her mother last week, others with cancer, others with children gone awry. And the people you see around you are just like you. It's normal in the South at church to come and look like you don't have any problems. It's been going on for years, and it doesn't work that way. Everybody beside you has some, and so you pray for everybody you see here. And we found out that the Lord Jesus will keep us safe till the storm passes by. So let's pray, and then we'll expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that you let us meet with your people, all who know thee, and some who don't, but we're going to introduce you this morning. And we thank you that you said wherever two or three are gathered together that you will be in the midst if they're doing it in your name. And we don't particularly care what anybody thinks about us but you. And we are here in your name to preach your word, to bring people to you. But I ask that you remove me from this place, that you be heard, that anything I say that should be forgotten would be, and anything that should be remembered will be. And the decisions will be made this morning that will put families back together, straighten lives out, and most importantly, bring someone to you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. I love that song that Randy sang. It came about by a man who was in Xenia, Ohio, and he was they had a big tornado there, if you remember. I didn't mean to make you mad, Bobby. And in Xenia, Ohio, they had a tornado come right down Main Street one day, middle of the day. And he happened to be downtown and walking on the sidewalk and heard it coming like a freight train. Saw it behind him and a window fell out of a furniture store that he was passing by, and it just dropped. And he said, I better get in there. So he jumped in there and got up under some a couch. And it came by, and it was terrible. And the roof started to fall, and, I mean, it was just terrible. And a few minutes, and he went through that experience, praying, of course, and then went home and wrote that song, Keep Me Safe Till the Storm Passes By. And so that was how that song came about. But it's in the scriptures from Mark 6:45. It said, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side before him into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were very much amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Understand that just a few hours back, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with a couple of fish and a few pieces of bread, and he had done miracles in front of them time after time after time, and here they're still wondering. But we go through the scriptures here and find out with the message for us today, we find out in verse 46 that he departed to pray. There were thousands of people. He was healing people. They were bringing them from all over, and his reputation had spread by that time, and Scripture says they would bring people like we would on little gurneys. They'd, of course, carry him, and the family would bring him wherever he was. If they heard Jesus was around, they'd take the sick people, and they were all healed. And that word had gotten out, and he'd been all day healing people, and in his humanity of him, he was tired. He was worn out. And he said, look, you guys get in the boat and just go. I'll meet you. But I need a little rest. I need some time. So he went up into a hill and decided he would pray. I had some Mormons come to the door one time, and we had a brief discussion. It doesn't last long. And so he mentions, he says, I speak with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which they don't believe in. And one of them said, well, what was he doing, praying to himself if he's deity? And I said, son, be real careful, because you are borderline blasphemy right now. And if you had any idea of what you just said, you'd tremble in fear. Obviously, you're a religious person, but you're a lost one. And you're going to a hell you don't believe in. And you're insulting a God who cares for you. And they had another appointment, they said, and decided they'd leave, see. But when Jesus departs to pray, when life's problems and storms come, does it give you a little hint? Maybe that's what you all do. And sometimes too often we consider prayer at the breakfast table or dinner table, and then shortly as we go to bed, and we're all guilty of that. But praying is dynamite. Praying, there's a little story I told you about. Those Korean folks had been praying for a church, and God told her where to go. He told the man to give them the property. I can't understand that. I just know when people pray, stuff happens, and it will in your life. You say, well, I don't know how. I'm old now, and this first time I've been to church, and or hadn't been in 20 years, and I just don't know much about that. You talk to God like you would your daddy. That's what he said to do. He said, you call me Abba, you call me Father, you're no longer my servant, you're my friend.
and you talk to him as if you'd talk to me or anybody, any other friend you've got. So I've got a problem I need to talk to you about. And he'll answer that way. And he will do it that way. And we should take time when the toils of life, the storms of life, whatever yours is, to say, wait a minute, I need to get away from it all. I need to just get by myself, and I need to talk to God, and I need to pray about this thing. Birds aren't going to fly, bells aren't going to ring, and nobody's going to audibly speak to you, but I promise you the answer will come. It always has, and it always does, as you saw it did here. Now Jesus sent them ahead in the boat, and it said he saw them toiling in rowing. I don't know if you've ever rowed a boat before. Some of you are my age or better, and you've done that when you were small at a camp or something, and the two oars on that boat was hard to handle. But this was a large fishing boat. I mean, there's 12 or 15 people in it. And now they're having to row this thing in a tempestuous sea. Actually, it's a lake. Sea of Galilee's a lake. But the waves are roaring and the wind's blowing and they are fighting. It says it was contrary to them. Means it was fighting them. The weather was fighting to them. And Jesus saw them toiling against this, working against this, in this bad situation, in a situation which they knew, because some of them were fishermen, this was a life or death situation. They knew this could kill them. And here they are, and he's not around. And he's who they lean on, and he's gone. He's on the land, and there they are by themselves. Or at least they think they are. But as Jesus saw them toiling, rowing that boat, he sees you rowing yours. Just because you don't see him, just because he didn't walk up to you, just because he doesn't email or call you on the telephone, doesn't mean he isn't watching. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. Sometimes he allows it to happen, so you will learn. There's a lesson there for you to learn, and he knows the only way you're going to listen is to get you still and apart so you will listen. And been there, done that. He's got a switch. He'll get your attention with a little switch sometime, like you do somebody Ben's age. Just switch them on the legs. And sometimes that's take the belt off. He's also got a 2x4 he'll hit you right in the head with. Believe me, he's got one. Thump! I said, golly, I think I'm now on my back, helpless. I think I better look up. And sometimes that happens. But he knows your storm, he knows what you're going through, he knows the toils of your life, and he's willing to help you with them. So he sees the boys out there, he lets them fight this till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Says at the fourth watch, that was between 3 and 6 a.m. Now understand, they went out in the evening. They've been battling these elements for 4, 5, 6 hours. They've got those that don't want to row rowing. Those that don't know how, everybody's doing their part. They're going to die. So he just lets it go on a little bit because Peter's a sailor. He's been through this before. He's saying, I know it's rough. Yes, well, I've been through this before. Just keep your seat. Just do what I tell you. He's going to handle it like some of us hard-headed ones. We'll handle it. Just go, I'll handle this. And the Lord said, how you doing, boys? 3 hours. I believe I'll let you go about 3 more. See how you're doing. And about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, all of them have given up. They said, we're going to die. It is over. And then they see something walking on the sea. So here he's done a couple of things. He's come out to solve the problem and let them know who solved it. And he's also showed that the elements don't bother him because he is the ruler of creation. He made it. He controls it. And it, too, will do what he says. So he walks out on the sea, and they see him, and they think he's a ghost of some kind. I mean, it's foggy and raining and the waves are going and they're scared anyhow, and all of a sudden a figure's walking out there. You don't figure it's somebody. You just get a little scared. Something's out there. We don't know what to do. And said they got extremely uptight about this thing and called out to him. They cried out, and it wasn't Jesus help us. They didn't recognize him at first. They cried out because they needed help, and it was time to ask for some. And some of us are so hard-headed, we won't ask for any help. And don't you be that way. If you need to talk about something, let's talk about it. If you need some help in your life, let us know about it. Don't let society upset you. If you're hungry, let us know. We'll find you some food. If you need things in your life that you don't have and we can help, let us know. We'll get some help. And don't let society hold you back from that. You see, when you're in the family of God, it's not like we say about an Elks Club, because if they help you, they'll talk about you at the next meeting. Not picking on them, but all those groups will. But the family of God says, that's my brother, I'll help him. My brother's pulled me out of 100 jams. He didn't go around the college up there saying, hey, just wanted to tell you I helped my little brother again. He's messed up one more time. He said, how can I help you? What can I do? And when do you need it? And that's what we do. So let us do that. Let us help you. If you need help and you're having a storm, whatever we can do, and don't ever say, well, all you can do is pray for me. That's the first thing we can do for you. That's what Jesus did. He didn't go out there to help and say, well, nothing else works. I'm going to pray for him now. I'll go to the hospital and see people and say, how are they doing? They'll say, preacher, all we can do now is pray. I said, you should have been doing that first. Sometimes if you do that first, you won't have to go to the hospital. It's not the last thing you do. It's the first thing you do. So here they are, and instead of praying like they should have been doing in the boat, they still fighting the Sea of Galilee. Well, you got to be the biggest idiot in the country to think you can whip the Sea of Galilee. You got to be a moron. It's miles around. It's deep. It'll throw you around like a cork. It'll shatter your boat. It'll take your life. You in real trouble. You better pray first. You're not going to beat that thing with two oars. So they called out, somebody help us, whoever you are out there, help us. And then he went to the boat. But it said if they had not called, he would have passed by. And sometimes the worst thing to get you to hell is not what you did. It was your pride that you wouldn't call on him. He said, I stand ready to help. I have the answer. I'm the creator. I've made you an out. I've paid for your sins. I've taken care of it all. But you got to want it. You've got to call me. I will not call you. I'm not coming by your house on a special visit. You call me when you're ready. Some people hold out a long time, but boy, they get ready. They get ready sometime, don't they? In a foxhole, they say there's never been an atheist. Is that right, Ernie? Never met one. Mm-hmm. And all these people who are, you know, use the Lord's name in vain and have an enmity against God, which means hate him. Well, they'll call on him one day. He'll let them go till he won't put them on. He'll let them go till they put themselves in such a position there's nowhere else to turn. And then they'll turn. Sometimes. But if they don't call, what did it say? He'll pass them by. You say, well, that's cruel. No, that's the program. You don't call, he doesn't answer. You call, he will answer. What part of that don't you understand? He said, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The opposite of that is don't come unto me when you're heavy laden, and you can handle it yourself. Willing to help. Willing to solve problems. Willing to answer prayers. Willing to solve situations that seem unsolvable. And that Jesus came on board, and the wind ceased. Same stories in a couple of other Gospels with greater details where he called the wind to cease. Said, okay, I'm on board. Peace, be still. Some people think, you know, when you see the picture, peace, be still. Don't believe it for a minute. I don't believe he got on board and said, all right, that'll do it. Peace, be still. And the entire lake said, choop. And the wind said, boop. And that was the end of it. They know his voice. They know his voice. So he got on, and first thing he said, they were screaming and hollering and crazy. And he said, look, back up here a minute. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. Every book of the Bible is the same message. Don't be afraid. And fear is one of our greatest enemies, isn't it? We fear most things that never come to pass. We fear people from Mars landing. I can't believe it when the guy in the movies, I'm so old I can't even remember his name, big fellow. What is his? Orson Welles. Yeah, I got some Orson Welles designer jeans. Thank you for that. Orson Welles got on the radio, and he has a radio program now. And he's telling people are attacking from Mars, are attacking New York. And it was so realistic, people in Iowa were killing themselves. I mean, what kind of fear is that? There weren't any jet planes. This dude's going to be a week getting to Iowa. I can go somewhere. I mean, for heaven's sake, how stupid. But fear causes you to do things like that, doesn't it? And talking about our son, Scott, a wonderful young fellow. And we told him, we said, look, I know how teenagers are. I was one. I know all the tricks. You're going to try them. I'll catch you on most of them. But just know, don't ever be afraid to come to me and tell me what you've done, regardless of what it is. Because bottom line, I am on your side. His mother said, your daddy is on your side, and I don't care what you've done. You call here first, and don't even worry about whether he'll be there or not. He'll be there. And to this day, if that kid does something, gets a ticket or in a wreck or whatever, picks up that telephone. She says, Mama, where's daddy? She said, he'll be there in a minute. Don't talk to anybody. Don't admit anything, and make counter accusations. She knows. So that's what you do. But the thing is, we took that fear away. He doesn't have that fear. See? And we can eliminate your fear. The Lord Jesus said, don't be afraid. Wait a minute, I'm here. I'm watching you from the land. I know you're having trouble. I know what you're in. I knew it was going to happen before it happened. Have you forgotten who you're talking to? Because they did. You see, it said they considered, and he went up into the boat, and the wind ceased. And they were very much amazed in themselves beyond measure. I mean, they couldn't believe this thing. And we read words, and it's amazing. You know, it's what's between those lines that's amazing. They were amazed beyond measure. The Bible's in King James English. And you understand that sometimes it's English thought when you read it. You know, we're different. My mother was English. I mean, she wore pearls and long elbow-length gloves to take the garbage out. They do things differently. And stiff upper lip. And, you know, Willie Mays runs a New York, Yankee Stadium and catches a ball over his shoulder. And we out of the stands. All right, did you see that? Go whip. You know how we do. Throw things and jump around. Englishman sees that, he says, well held. I mean, you know. So when it says they were amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, please understand, it was jump up time on the boat. Peter, did you see that? Look at the water, son. Look, it's a mirror. There's no wind blowing. I believe it's getting warmer. Did you see what happens? There's no rain. We were going to die, and now we won't. Isn't this wonderful? Did you guys see what I saw? I'm glad you're here. If I'd have been out here by myself and told somebody this, nobody would have believed me. I'm so glad you're here. Did you see what I saw? I'm going to tell you. You tell me back to me. Let's see if we got it. I don't believe this yet. Just like you would have done, or just like I would have done. So this is amazing. And they wondered. Wondered what? They wondered who this Jesus they'd been hanging out with really was. Because in another passage of Scripture relating the same story, they say, and then they worshiped him. And it's the first time the Scriptures ever tell of the disciples as a group worshiping him. They were with him. They worked with him. They did what he said. They saw the miracles. But it never before says they worshiped him. You see, bless their hearts, they really didn't understand who he was yet. Like some of you don't. You still got him as the good teacher. A philosopher. A good man. A good example. Just throw all that in the trash. He is the Lord God Almighty in human flesh. And you'll never understand a word of Scripture until you understand that. Once you understand that, all things are possible. You don't have to worry about if your uncle was a monkey in a tree. Some people who espouse that theory, looking at them, I can see why they would think that. But it's not true. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now, this same group had just come from dinner on the grounds. Some of the Baptists claim Jesus was a Baptist because of the dinner on the grounds. It's not true. Just fed 5,000 people with a couple of rolls and some fish from a little boy's lunch. He had already raised people from the dead, made leprosy go away, made the blind to see, and they still didn't know who he was. You say, boy, they're dumb. Won't they ever learn? I know somebody from South Carolina who heard the gospel in Sunday school, did nothing about it. Then you heard your grandmother praying for you and telling you the story of Jesus, and you did nothing about it. Then crazy Uncle Bob, who, you know, was one of them evangelist people, always Jesus in everybody. You heard him, but y'all passed him off as a religious nut, so you didn't bother with that. Then you went to college and met somebody with a few degrees and thought that was the answer. And he was smarter than you, so you better follow him unknowingly to hell. And so you heard it and heard it, and then Billy Graham comes on television, God bless him. And you watched a few, you know, a closet Graham watcher. None of your friends would know, so you went ahead and watched that, but you didn't do anything about it. And you did make it down to a church. A friend asked you, and you went one Easter and a couple of Christmases, but nothing really came of that. And on the radio, you catch a preacher preaching, Dr. Stanley, Dr. Kennedy, or some little country boy from Lumberton. And he had the same message, the same story you heard as a child, The same story your grandmother had told you. The same story Crazy Uncle Bob was telling everybody. The same story Graham was preaching to millions on television. The same story Kennedy and Stanley preach around the world to people on the radio. The same story that local church was preaching on Christmas and Easter. Over and over again. And you still don't know who he is. That isn't the only boat full of dumb people. You in the same boat, if you don't know. And that's the purpose of our being here, is so you will know. It's so we can tell that story one more time. Same story, second verse. Heard my daddy tell it since I was a child. Before him, they were telling it. All the way back to Jesus, they were telling it. The Old Testament prophets were telling it 1,000 years before this was written. It's funny how God works, and you send you a message to give, which he did this for me. And I read this, and I said, isn't that wonderful? And I noticed one of my little notes over here said on one of the things, said turn to so-and-so. And generally I will. But I already had the message. And I said, well, I believe I will just turn to one. And said, go to Psalms. And I went to Psalms and read this same story telling that it was going to happen, how it would happen, what would go on there, and what the result would be 1,000 years before this story took place, before Jesus was born, before anybody who there was born. And I'll read it to you. It's from Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they're quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And I read that in total amazement and said, isn't that something? The psalmist said it would happen, and over here, it happened. The Old Testament prophets also said a baby would be born of a virgin. Over here, it happened. They said he would be crucified when crucifixion wasn't even a way of death. Over here, it happened. They talked about him arising from the dead. Nobody had ever heard of that. Over here, it happened. They said he'll come again and set up his kingdom on earth. The rapture of the church will take the church out, and there'll be a great war. And I said, boy, this is interesting. And over here, it tells who will be in it, who will fight against who, and that it's going to be, from what we see, very, very soon. And I said, isn't this wonderful? And isn't he wonderful? And I have a Savior, no matter whatever storm I'm in, who said, just keep calling on me, trusting in me, and I will keep you safe till the storm passes by. Isn't that good to know? If you don't know that Savior this morning, we'll give you an introduction. His name is Jesus. And he said, whoever you are and whatever you've done, my blood took care of that on Calvary's cross, and there's no sin too small that it didn't catch his attention. And there's no sin too large that he can't forgive it. He said, just call on me when you're in the storm of life, lost, undone, no Savior, died today, don't know what would happen to you. And I'll give you rest. I'll save your soul. I'll pay for the price of your sin. I'll write the check. And you enjoy the glory. I said, what a God. What a Savior. And if you don't know him this morning, just quietly where you are, you talk to God. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Sin by choice. I'm not going to fool you. You already know what I've done. But I believe you're the Savior. I want to confess my sin. I want to be saved. I want you to save me. I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Lord God Almighty, and I don't know much about it. But just get me on first base, and we'll work on second and third and get me home in a little bit. But today, please, just come into my life. I need a Savior. And if you do that, I promise he's listening. He will do his part. And one day when you hear, keep me safe till the storm passes by, you'll learn to cry like I do. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the storms we've been through. And that we knew to call on you. And though it was tossed with the tempest, and it was dark and lonely, we knew you were there and knew somehow, some way, you'd make a way. And you always have, and you always will. Thank you for those before me who have storms in their life today. May they call on you and see their winds subside and their waves lie flat, and know the goodness of God. Thank you for bringing us together. Bring us again next week. May others come, that they too may understand the story of Jesus and how wonderful you are. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now before you run, I have to go somewhere. I don't mean that facetiously. Someone has said we would like if we could have a Bible study. And if we have a Bible study, they said, well, who can we get to teach it? And they're looking at me. Bobby's very, very, very subtle. In front of me, look, we need somebody to teach it. Okay, Bobby. So we said, well, we will do that. But the problem is, not a problem, but what we have to see is where to do it. If we have 10 people, Bobby said, you can do it at my house. But we don't need to be in anyone's house. If we can get a large enough crowd and disrupt their furniture and break their lamps and all that, we'll rent a motel room around here. So they have conference rooms around here. I'll find one. And we'll just rent one Monday nights. And start about 7, catch your sandwich on the way in, on the way out, and we'll go for a couple of hours. If we're going to have a study Bible, then we're going to do it. Right. I'll put you through seminary. It's where you should be. That's what you need to know. Because you see your strength, you'll learn here. I preach the Bible. I teach as I preach, as you know. But you can only get a little of this, and a little of that, and a little over here. Because if I preach on the same subject every week, you're going to quit coming for long. But when you can study that and see in depth what it will do, then it removes any doubt you have in your mind. And it removes, it just because I can't tell you how wonderful it becomes. I just can't tell you what it does for you to know that you know that you know that you know that you know, as my father used to say. And now I'm over 40, I understand exactly what he meant by that. And no one can bother you, turn you aside. They can't affect you anymore. And it's so good to know that. And you learn that by learning what's here. And I'll do my best to teach you. I'm not the best Bible teacher in the world, but it's kind of like the guys were in the mountains and a grizzly bear rose up. And they said, oh, man, we in trouble. Yeah, that sucker will kill you. And one of them was shaking with fear, and the other one was putting on some tennis shoes out of his knapsack. Took off his clothes, put on some shorts, put on a running shirt, band around his head. And the guy with him said, fool, what are you doing? So that bear weighs 2 tons. He can break the neck of a cow just by hitting him. He can run 35 miles an hour. We're dead. You can't outrun that bear. And he was tying that last shoe. He said, I know all that. I don't have to outrun the bear. All I got to do is outrun you. Isn't that a good story? So I don't know everything, but I can outrun you. So if you were interested, we will do this, but we need to know if you're interested. We would do it Mondays at 7 o'clock somewhere. We'll find a motel room if we need one. Do we have enough interest? Raise your hand if we got enough interest, all right? Yeah, we got enough interest. We got 25, 30 people there, and we get more. Now, don't worry about your education level. That has nothing to do with it. Please understand, I will tell you what it says. God will teach you what it says. The Spirit of God teaches you this book. That's His promise. I just put the information out, and you will understand beyond your understanding. You won't believe it. You'll be all proud of yourself. But we'll undo some knots in your thinking, and then you'll have an effect on other people that you can bring here and down at the ocean this summer, and you'll help reach other people, and that's what we're doing. And we're all doing this together. Isn't that good? And God appreciates it. So remember, we got tapes out front. Randy's tapes are out front. If you need our tapes, just see Larry, and he'll get you.